Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Natalie Weiner.
Hey.
And, Erica's she's not feeling a little under the weather, but I once again want to assure fans that the vegan diet didn't kill her.
She's fine.
Because her last appearance was the first week
Was she not here last week?
She basically, yeah. So it kind of seems like we're trying to, like, Weekend at Bernie's, Erica. Like, we're trying to cover up for her. Yeah, she's great. She's totally fine. Definitely not dead.
Like, say hello, Erica. Hello!
Yeah.
That's not a very convincing fake Erica voice.
Erica.
You sound like a Teletubby.
Love Teletubbies. Now, that is some good music, if you want to.
Oh, my God. Billboard ranking top Teletubby songs.
Top Teletubby
tunes.
There's
probably
tunes.
Only, like, goodness.
Is, are there Teletubby
actually, the
Booba, songs?
The Booba website had some really good music, too. I don't know if you ever played around
actually,
with that.
Actually, like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what
Boobas
you're saying.
Boobas were, like, the follow-up to Teletubbies.
I have no idea. I
actually, like,
I don't know why you guys don't
language.
Keep up with what the kids are watching,
you know, was,
on PBS.
You know what was the best, like, in terms of just, like, being... I don't know, like 15 or 16 when the Teletubbies were... When were the Teletubbies big? Like
90s.
It was a long time ago.
90s? I thought
I don't
it was
think
more
it was
like 2000s. I thought it was like early 2000s.
Maybe early 2000s. I definitely saw them.
The
I think I was like slightly too old for the Teletubbies in the era they were happening.
I just remember like the sun being like a baby head.
Yeah, the sun is
and,
fucking
like,
creepy as hell.
I'll never not find that funny. Like the Teletubbies just like looked at the sun and were like, "Oh, sun
baby.
God, we love you." And it was just a baby. And I was like,
maybe that's because the babies watching are supposed to relate to the sun.
Yeah,
they are the masters of the Teletubby universe.
It's just awesome. Mm, anyway,
that's interesting. All right, I like this. But let's go to something. Let's take it up from G to PG, and let's look at the new song from 5 Seconds of Summer called She's Kinda Hot. Although it's actually meant more like She's Kinda Hot.
Yo,
dude.
She's kinda hot.
She's kinda hot.
Yeah.
This is like such good bro insights for me. Like, please, tell me more.
So these boys, you know, I mean, we've talked about them in the podcast before. Like, they are... Like the negotiation between a boy band and a pop punk band, and I feel like musically they want to like put themselves more in the pop punk world, but they like fan base wise, like really kind of do the whole like they want like their fans to look at them as like cute boys, and they like foster that whole thing.
Yeah.
And this song is just it's just ridiculous. Like I kind of don't know why I picked it. It just reminds me so much of The Offspring. Like there are like there's them making like jokey comments in the background.
Yeah.
Like it's just this goofy, like kind of terrible, kind of fun, like pop punk song.
You know, that's a good like it does kind of sound like Why Don't You Get a Job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like with the comments in the back. I didn't think about that when I first heard it.
And let me see, did I write? Oh yeah, like oh god. And so it's about she's kind of hot though. But then when they switch it to a guy, they're like, he's got a shot though at like making it big. I was really disappointed that they weren't gonna do a like, he's kind of hot though too, and just like embrace like acknowledging that a guy can be hot too. I thought that was lame of them.
Guys can be hot too.
That's Joe's hot take on this podcast. Guys can be hot.
Yeah. And then there's some great line where they're like, we're kings and queens of a new broken scene.
Oh my God. It's
like, that was very 21st century breakdown.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I get like very Simple Plan vibes from these dudes. But yeah, I don't know. Okay. Here's the thing. I know Joe was like, oh, I'm so excited to hear you talk about this because they thought I would rip it to shreds, which I might still do, but I'm not going to say like, I'm not mad at the conceit of the song. Like, I like the fact that it like starts with one thing and like goes to a different place that the narrative kind of builds. And I'm not going to say it's surprising, but it's like, it's cute. Like, I like it. Like, there's a story, there's a narrative, it's cliche, but whatever. Like, I think it works. And like, the song itself does not upset me on a musical level. Obviously, the problem here is the she's kind of hot section, which is not the whole song. It is the title, though. But like, it's just like so just stupid and cliche. And like, the fact that it's like, whatever, this happens. But most of the 5 Seconds of Summer fans are girls, girls between the age of 13 and 16. I don't know. Guessing 12, 11, younger, whatever.
I don't know.
And like,
they'll take him as young as they can get him. Fans, I mean.
It's fair.
Gross. And as a person who also listened to like this kind of casually misogynistic music during my formative years.
Like what? Like who?
Well, this is where Bowling for Soup comes in. I told you I was going to mention Bowling for Soup.
So I hear about Bowling
for
Soup
are casually misogynistic. I only know like one Bowling for Soup.
I mean,
Soup
girl,
song.
All the bad guys want is kind of, and like in general, like their whole oeuvre is like, you know, girls, they just don't understand, but they can be kind of hot, but they're also kind of stupid. Like, that's just kind of like,
it's a fair statement. No, I'm just
what? Oh my God. Anyway,
I'm kidding. No, I'm.
But yeah, as a person who listened to that and sort of like embodied it without fully being like, wow, I really think this, you know, it's like you internalize it and then you have to unlearn it later. And I am sad for all the girls who are like, love 5 Seconds of Summer, and they're going to listen to this song. They're like, oh, well, maybe a boy will like me if I'm just kind of hot. And even if he thinks I'm annoying, because, you know, I must be annoying because I'm a girl, you know, it's just like a depressing thing for me to contemplate.
Yeah. I like that. That was not like ripping it to shreds, but it was very measured. And
that was like a salon.com essay.
Boom. Song.
That feels like maybe half a diss and half a compliment.
No, I love Salon. If it was Slate, then it would be like half a diss. Okay. And I do like Slate a lot too.
The Slate take would be like, is it misogynistic?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I just think that what 5 Seconds of Summer are doing right now are, what they're doing is listening too much to the Madden Brothers. And like, because the dudes from Good Charlotte helped make this song.
Really?
And it's like, yeah. And like, you know, I was never a Good Charlotte fan. And this sounds like, so you said Offspring. I think it sounds exactly like Good Charlotte. Like, I think it sounds
Charlotte, Simple Plan.
Yeah.
They're the same in my head.
It sounds like that song Boys and Girls.
Yeah.
From Good Charlotte.
Girls don't like boys, girl, or whatever. How does it go?
Yeah, I don't,
girls
I don't
like cars
care
and
to
money, boys like cars and money.
I don't care to remember.
Something like that.
It's an awful song. Anyway, it's, I mean, 5 Seconds of Summer, I actually really like 5 Seconds of Summer. This is, you know, I don't think this is the worst song. I think that this is like the first single from their next album, right? Because like, I think that if this was like a buzz track to be like, 5 Seconds of Summer is back, here's like a new track, I'd be like, all right, like fine, whatever. You want to goof around and make this kind of thing, then that's fine. But like, if this is like the song that's going to radio, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that, like, I still really like 5 Seconds of Summer, and they are actually very in tune with their female fan base. I think that the first album definitely showed that as well, as just what how they act and what they say. They seem like actually smart dudes. However, the Madden brothers need to be kept away.
Need to be reined in.
Yeah. Seriously. I don't know.
I can see that. Yeah.
The one Madden brother still has the eye tattoos. I don't know.
Well, he's not. Can't get rid of those.
Well, yeah. I know. I'm just saying.
Get rid of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's listen and let you decide. So it's 5 Seconds of Summer. The song, I can't even say it without smirking. The song's called She's Kinda Hot. When you've got bigger plans that no one else understands, you've got a shot. All right, that was the new Five Sauce. That's what people are calling them.
Oh, okay. I was like, Five Sauce, like McDonald's sauces for your chicken McNuggets.
No, I don't think they have 5 different sauces in McDonald's. They don't. I think it's ketchup, then the sweet and sour, and actually maybe there are others.
Also,
it's
I just
been
thought of
time.
My distillation of that song. It's a neg in the form of a song. That is what the title is. They are negging their
but
female
But is it positive
base.
Because they're saying like, you don't need to be totally hot. You just need to be kind of hot, Joe, and you'll be good enough for us. all right, and on that, let's move on to a Jason pick. So yeah. We've got Churches, as
that's how Chverches. I say it in my head
as Chverches every time.
Wow, that's crazy.
Even though I know it's Churches, but yeah, so new Churches tune. Leave a Trace. This is the first one from their new album, right?
Yeah, they've played 3 new songs. So I saw them at Pitchfork Fest this past weekend, and the other band I saw that I picked a song, also Pitchfork Fest. Very indie Jason week here on the Must Hear Music podcast. But yeah, they're awesome, and they seem like they've gotten a lot better over the past year. I saw them last summer was the last time I saw them live. And their live show was just a lot tighter and a lot more confident from the lead singer, Lauren Mayberry. Lauren Mayberry is like the nicest and a searingly smart performer. But she's always seemed a little bit like hard to get out of her shell. And now she's like on stage. She's joking around. She's kicking beach balls. She called out Mac DeMarco for like leaving cigarette butts on stage.
Really?
Which
that's
is also,
awesome.
Yeah. Like, who does that? Like, who like smokes on stage and leaves cigarette butts? Come on, Mac DeMarco.
I mean, come on, it is rock and roll. Like whatever. It's just a cigarette butt.
That's gross.
Unless
I wouldn't
somebody's on there barefoot, like, why do you care?
It's just
yeah. It's
I
like
don't know,
it's
spilled
beer,
gross.
Cigarette butts, whatever. I don't even smoke. I wouldn't
it's a
mind
festival.
Though. Yeah, it's a festival.
Well, all right. Well,
all right. I'm
we'll
on Team DeMarco.
All right, I'm on Team Mayberry. Anyway, so they played Leave a Trace, which is their new single, and it honestly was the best song of the set. And I just think that this song. It's funny because of the arrangement. I don't think it's like a sing along, and I don't know if it's going to be like popular. In a way that like a Churches song might be popular, like The Mother We Share is popular, but it's just like so fun. Like it's just like it's such an engaging listen in the way that the best songs on their first album were, which are just so many hooks all spiraling around each other, and then Mayberry just kind of leading the charge and just packing it with actual emotion. I'm a big fan of what they're doing. And I can't wait to hear what else they have. Like, their new album comes out in September and, like, is definitely one of my more anticipated ones for the fall. So, yeah, Churches. Great.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I can't add much to it that's better worded than that. But I agree. This is, I think, excellent. I like their first album, although I have to admit I was a little surprised with, like, how quickly they took on just because there's a lot of bands like doing the same sort of thing
it's
that they're doing.
It's true, right?
And they really seem to like explode in a way that I don't know if it's just because I mean it could be because of the personalities. Like they are really great people. She's kind of put herself out there on social media in a very engaging way. They do like fun things, like interesting covers.
Yeah. That is true.
Whatever the reason.
You guys weren't here when they were Who did they? Oh, they covered Janelle Monáe Tightrope for the Billboard Women in Music event in 2013, and it was so awesome.
It's so cool.
Like, Janelle Monáe was, like, watching them and singing along, and I was like, so cool. Oh, churches, this is great. Anyway.
Yeah, and they, like, covered the Game of Thrones theme and, you know, things people like. So, anyways. But yeah.
Natalie just rolled her eyes so hard.
Well,
that
sorry.
Was great.
Sorry. All right. Never mind. I'm just here. Don't
both things people
it.
Like.
That's true.
So, yeah. So, anyways, this new song, Leave a Trace, I like it that it's not more of the same. Like, this is a stronger sound for them. Like, it's more... Like, there's something pretty delicate and almost soft synth pop about the first album, and this is definitely, like, I would even say muscular. Like, you can imagine this sort of attracting some of the EDM crowd. I know EDM is a name our EDM editor doesn't like to use, but I feel like
but he's
I like
not
how
here.
You just called him an EDM.
Yeah,
and you're like,
I did.
Our EDM editor doesn't like EDM.
No, dance is the correct term now, the politically correct term for EDM.
I'm just gonna call it electronic dance music.
I'm going to call it dance in your pants music because that's what it makes me want to do. And that's weird. Yeah. Anyways. But yeah, so I think this is something that I actually do think that this is a little maybe more polished and like might have legs in a way with the quote unquote masses that the last album didn't. And her voice is also a lot stronger here too. You know, there are songs in the first album where she does sound like she's straining, and I think that's fine. You know, that's part of her appeal. Like, she's not a technically perfect vocalist, but here it does sound like she's kind of trying to, like, make her voice a little more full-bodied.
Yeah.
Kind of in a very... Of course, everything reminds me of Madonna, but it reminds me of the transformation that Madonna made on Ray of Light when, you know, most of her career she had this kind of, like, high-pitched voice that strained for a lot of the notes. And then suddenly on Ray of Light, like, she was able to, like, nail these, like, deeper, more buttery notes. So that's kind of... There's a little bit of that here.
I feel like Joe could have a Things That Are Like Madonna podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, someone offers it. I'm
wow.
Anyways. So that's what I thought. Sorry. What do you think, Natalie?
I concur. I mean, like, I think it's awesome. You're right, Jason. Like, it's, like, so happy. It's, like, how could anyone not like this song?
Yeah.
It's, like, the happiest thing ever. And that's, like, that's kind of why it reminded me of Haim. Like, their album, I get, like, strong vibes of that just, like, happy ladies rocking, like, doing their thing.
What Natalie just did in her chair was just epic.
I didn't really mean
she
to
did
sing,
dance in her
but,
pants.
Like, it's been a long day, so it happened. But yeah, that's just the vibe, and, like, I'm into it, you know? She's killing it. Sounds really good, and also very polished. I don't have the in-depth familiarity with the first album that you two have, but... I'm here for it, you know.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. Let's take the audience to churches. Oh, and I had to do it. I had
no,
to do it. I'm really sorry.
You have to do it.
No, I'm required to. So, anyways, this is Churches, Leave a Trace. All right, that was the new Churches. Next, let's do a Natalie pick. Let's start with YG, the new YG, Twist My Fingers.
Cool.
So,
oh, yeah. This
so
song.
This is, well, you talk about it. What
cool.
You...
Well, this is YG's first single, well, since his shooting and off his next album, I believe, is how he's promoting it. Now I forget, but yeah. Anyway, it's a big deal because he was shot and he gave Billboard a great interview, which you should check out if you haven't yet because it's very fascinating. And now he's back with this single, which is a departure for him for sure because he has been like deep in the land of DJ Mustard because they are like hardcore collaborators, like day one people. And basically YG has achieved success on the back of DJ Mustard beats, more or less.
Yeah.
And this is a total embrace of G-Funk, like total and complete, which is great because YG's from LA and LA means G-Funk, like did for the 90s mostly. And it's just like, it's cool to hear him doing this just like, it's definitely a throwback. Like nothing about this is groundbreaking, but it sounds great. And it's also produced by Terrace Martin of Kendrick Lamar, To Pimp a Butterfly fame. Also, mm-hmm. like, my dude. And, yeah, it's just, it's a very, like, good sound for him. His rapping sounds good. The track sounds good. Like, I don't know. I'm into people, like, it's not trap, and it's not DJ Mustard, and it's just, like, a full embrace of, like, this different era of hip-hop and this different tone, you know, which may have already happened. But YG, I think, is, like, a fresh enough rapper that, like, he, in and of himself, like, him doing it makes it a new thing a little bit.
And he's a hometown boy, too.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So it doesn't seem disingenuous
right.
to suddenly, like, kind of start doing the Snoop thing.
Yeah, it's, like, a tribute to his... to his forebears a little bit, which I feel like he would say also. I mean, he's quoting Eminem in the song. Yeah. You know?
LA, famous LA resident.
Eminem. Well, famous Dr. Dre protege.
That, like. That is true. Yeah, no, I like this a lot, like a lot more than I thought I would. And I really did like the YG debut, but, you know, I think the kind of the common refrain of a lot of people was this is such a good album, but a lot of people were like, but the production is the best part. And since
totally
he's
agree, yeah.
not the mastermind of the production, people, you know, maybe sold YG a little short. And I think at the very least, this shows he has good instincts because it's a great, like, welcome departure. I think if he had come back with just another DJ Mustard thing, it kind of would have been just like people would have been like, shrug, more of the same. But
right.
this is a really fun song, too. And like the sample is a great choice. It's the Funkadelic song, One Nation Under a Groove, which is like one of my all-time favorite songs. It's just like, so it's just 8 minutes and it ends too soon. But
I just saw them last week and it was legendary.
We were,
it was a freak show in Queens. But yeah, George Clinton still got it. Go see him if you have the chance.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Clinton 2016, right? You know what I'm saying?
Oh my god.
Joe, you're on a tear today, man.
Jason, YG, what do you think?
I was just going to, you kind of stole my point a little bit, but that's okay. I was just going to say that I liked the YG album, My Crazy Life. I agree with you that like the production was the best part. If another, like they were, all the songs were like doubles, and I feel like if another rapper had been at the helm of them, they might have been like triples or home runs. So I feel like, and that's no offense to YG, I just like his performance on the album I thought was good but not stellar. And whereas I think that he's way in control here and he's doing something different, and I think that I just respect that, and second of all, I think it's a great look for him, like you said, just kind of the G-funk. It's just like a party song. And I feel like do you guys think that My Crazy Life had really like a party song? I don't think so.
I mean, My Hitta.
That's not real. Like, it's a, it's
I
like,
hear it at like every party.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe like, I'm thinking more of like an up-tempo kind of song.
Yeah, maybe not like party vibe.
Yeah.
No, this is like. Yeah, and it sounds different than pretty much everything that's on the radio.
Yeah.
Unless your radio station is playing King Kunta.
Yeah.
Also, I talked to Terrace, and he said that he's doing more work with YG and DJ Mustard.
Nice.
So humble brag and a half.
Well, I was like realizing this could be a pro tip for the listeners.
That is a pro tip. I appreciate it. Yeah. Anyway, you were humble bragging about Pitchfork Fest anyways.
Well, that's not a humble brag.
I guess it was a humble brag. Yeah.
I attended a festival.
Yeah, I'm kidding. let's listen to it. It's YG, Twist My Fingers.
Well, all these rap niggas wanna be bloods. Never see him in the hood, only see him in the club. Ask me, I snuck in with the snub, and I just let the block have the homie say I'm dumb. What's up with that? Nigga, I don't fuck with that shit. I'm about to pull a Suge Knight and press the issue on sight. The real bloods need a check. Oh, we on your ass. I went to sleep flamed up, but I woke up in my polo.
All right, that's the new YG. Next up, let's do, this is one of my picks. This is a track off the new excellent Tame Impala album called Currents. So the one I picked, because so many of the songs were previewed ahead of the time of the album, so they've been out for months, so I picked The Moment, which is not a single, kind of one of the, like, I don't want to say minor tracks, but one that might get lost in the shuffle because there's a few other songs that kind of grab you a little bit more. But it's just, I really appreciate with this album, And I liked, again, actually like Churches, I was surprised how well Tame Impala's Lonerism did. Just it really like broke through to audiences who usually don't listen to kind of like 60s psych rock influence stuff. Yeah. It got, they like have a huge, I guess following is maybe too strong a word, but a lot of people have their songs on their iPod. People care about them enough to like go check them out at festivals and concerts, whereas like most people kind of mining the sounds of the 60s and 70s have a cultish, like a small but devoted following, and they really kind of broke through in a more alternative mainstream way. So, and you know, they could have probably stuck with that for a while. I mean, My Morning Jacket, no slur on them, but kind of, you know, they broke through and made the same album time after time for the next three albums.
I heard the
albums.
New one is actually pretty good.
I like them. I don't want to, like I said, like denigrate them, but they definitely stuck with their thing. But Tame Impala did a real 180 with this. The first album, like I said, like psychedelic, guitar heavy. This new one, plenty of guitars. There are some great riffs, but so many synths. Like, this is a very, like, 80s Phil Collins-y mm-hmm. record. The one I picked is The Moment. It's this nice, like, deceptively simple, I would say, quiet synth ballad. The vocals really remind me, not even of rock, but of, like, the group ABC or Spandau Ballet, which I feel Natalie and I are always talking about Spandau Ballet.
You guys are always talking about Spandau Ballet.
Joe, that's a strange comment. More than once, we are always talking about it.
It's true. Yeah. Bowling for Soup and Spandau Ballet, just wow. We're always talking about
and
them.
The classics are the classics, baby.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just, it's a really cool thing that they're taking this kind of departure and risk, and it's a weird, interesting thing for them. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I still have to listen to the Tame Impala album, and it makes me a little sad that I haven't done that yet.
Hmm. Makes me a little sad too.
Hey, I know. But I've heard four songs off of it, and all of them are wildly different from each other, and I like all of them. So this is the fourth one, and yeah, it's just totally, it has sort of the same baseline as something as like Let It Happen, but it just builds off of that foundation in such a different way. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see how this whole project comes together. It's out now. Obviously, I can see next hour, but like yeah. I definitely want to take a listen to it. I advise everyone else to do the same.
Natalie, what do you think of this?
I enjoyed it too. I think I like, it's like a little bit outside my realm of things I listen to, but like I was intrigued, definitely. I think it's cool that they're pursuing such a kind of complex, nuanced sound, you know. It's interesting. And definitely like strong 80s vibes, obviously.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Mm-hmm. You know, anyone? I just love the Spandau Ballet mention. Now I'm just thinking about Spandau Ballet. But,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, I'm just going to start a Spandau Ballet cover band.
Yeah, if anyone's probably not familiar, which you probably aren't. I mean, there's no reason for someone in 2015 to be intimately familiar with Spandau Ballet, but look up their song True. Just like one of the best pop songs of all time.
Look up the picture of them in weird gold underwear.
Oh yeah, you definitely
don't
want to miss
what
that.
You guys are. Oh Oh my goodness.
I have like a fetish for like early 80s new wave, new romantic music. Yeah. So it just really hits me
are
in
you
all the right places.
Are you an XTC fan?
I love XTC.
Oh, wow. Okay,
huge
cool.
fan of XTC. All yeah. Right.
Then we'll always talk about that.
All right.
On.
Good. I'll talk about that at length. All right. Anyways, let's cut to the song and then we'll talk about skylarking for a half hour.
Oh,
so
man. I don't know what that is.
All right. This is, I already forgot, Tame Impala, The Moment. Here it is. All right, that's the new Tame Impala. Next, let's do another Jason Pitchfork pick.
Yeah.
So this is
best new must-hear music.
Wilco,
ayo.
Taste the Ceiling from their confusingly titled surprise album, Star Wars.
Yeah, that was.
Which
I
still don't. I mean,
copyright to that, or I
it
guess
is
they don't.
Weird.
It's
no, it like, it can't be because there was the Star Wars thing in the 80s where it was like Reagan's idea of a system of satellites above Earth that the U.S. would have to shoot down. Like Soviet rockets. So,
learning so much.
There are two like very famous Star Wars. However, I don't think we need a third one, but Wilco decided to title their album Star Wars.
Oh man.
Even though it has nothing to do with like no. As far as I know, I mean
no, it doesn't. Okay. No, it's not like they're singing about like Darth Maul.
I feel like they're yeah. like trolling. They're like, "Haha, our album's called Star Wars."
Well,
you know
that's
what
I
mean?
That's what I think it like and it has like a cat on the cover. I think right. it's just like trolling. For sure. Like when they named an album Wilco the album and its first
That's
single
true.
Was Wilco the song. So they're
that
a little
I
trolly.
Do kind of I appreciate
so
that.
Witty.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's one thing you would say about Jeff Tweedy, just hysterical guy. Like just a really sharp wit.
Like can you imagine like them all in a room and Jeff Tweedy being like, "What if we called it Star Wars?" And everyone just like bursts out laughing. Like, ha ha ha. Oh, Jeff, you slay us. Anyway, let's talk about the music. So, Wilco headlined the first night of Pitchfork Fest, and they started their set, which was an hour and a half, playing this whole new album, which they put out the day before, surprising for free, straight through. They played it for 35 minutes, and I was a little shocked by how much I enjoyed listening to, like, 11 straight unknown Wilco songs. I was like, this is actually really enjoyable. And, you know, what song did I pick? Taste the Ceiling, I think?
Yeah, Taste the Ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, I just picked that just because it's kind of indicative of the entire album. It's like, it's very much like ramshackle and like reckless and like grizzled and like all of these like things that all of these adjectives that I think of when I think of Jeff Tweedy and his like silly hat and with his unkempt beard.
Face and,
yeah, it's just but it's kind of like a solid old man album, and it really works. Like it's a quick album. Like I said, they played the whole thing in 35 minutes, and it just sort of flows nicely. And I think that this song is very pretty and simple in a way that it would be unimaginable to think of Wilco making such a simple thing when you think of like A Ghost Is Born, which was so complex. And it was funny because you listen, like they played their quote unquote hits after that. And they played like I Am Trying to Break Your Heart, which is a very like, you know, intricate song. And that, and it's a great song, but this is just not that at all. This album is just totally like straightforward, just like kind of tossed off here. Give it a listen if you want. It's free, or it was free, or whatever. But yeah, I approve. I'm back on board with Wilco for this one.
That's really exciting for me to hear because I guess I can't really say I'm a longtime fan because I stopped being a fan like 8 years ago. But like I was a fan from a long time ago, like when I was in high school. And this is gonna date me here, but I was like one of the people who had like, so Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, what some people think is their masterpiece, was like kind of held up in limbo for like a year or more before its release, and like I had like a downloaded copy before it was actually out because I was like into Wilco. I thought they were really awesome. I loved Summer Teeth, And
see, Joe is humble bragging now. So
yeah. I just giving a little historical perspective, this guys. And yeah, and I dug A Ghost Is Born, not as much. And then Sky Blue Sky, I was like, just too goo. It was becoming too like almost just like adult contemporary pop rock. It just had no balls, and I was just like, I can't deal with this anymore. So I kind of, and you know, I kind of just tuned them out, and whenever they would release something, I would maybe listen to it once and then be like, eh, still don't care.
Yeah.
But I feel like with this, and you know, with what you're saying, that speaks a lot that you could hear it for the first time and it would grab you.
Yeah, I would say like, don't go in with any expectation of like album of the year or anything. Just be like, this might be like a fun rock album to listen to, and I think it accomplishes that.
But yeah, I'm excited. I like what I've heard, and I'm ready.
Star Wars.
Hey, and Star Wars, believe me, I love Star Wars. I mean, as a kid, like, I just could not get enough of
Joe,
the original trilogy.
Do I get to talk about it, or are you going to talk about
Wow.
No, I'm going to talk about the original trilogy at length. What do you think about this, Natalie?
I like it, too, mostly because I feel like it could be on the Friday Night Lights soundtrack, which I own both volumes of. And don't at me, people, because I know they actually were on the Friday Night Lights soundtrack.
Wow.
But this song obviously wasn't because the show is
I'm
over.
Sorry to interrupt you, Natalie. You're aware of Shaky Graves, right?
Yes, vaguely.
But, like, you know his connection to Friday Night Lights? Mm-mm. You don't. Have you watched all of Friday Night Lights?
Obviously.
The Swede in season 2, like the lifeguard, the Swede, he's Shaky Graves.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yo.
I don't watch. I know.
I mean, that's only exciting for people
for
who
nerds.
Have watched.
It's a show about Friday football. I'm not going to watch that.
Dude,
it's not about
shut
football.
Up.
Yeah.
It's about small town life.
It
and
is.
Love
it's about
and family.
Connie Britton being the absolute best.
I don't
best.
Care about small town life or family either. So it.
Wow.
All
Whatever.
The wrong notes for me.
Joe is so grumpy. Anyway, this Wilco song sounds like it could be on Friday Night Lights, and I like it. And it makes me wish I were driving around in some rural place and listening to it. And that is a nice feeling to have.
Yeah.
Hmm. Cool. All right. Well, let's listen to a little Wilco. Taste the Ceiling is the song. All right. That's the new Wilco. Next. And I believe last, let's do Young Thug, a new song, Pacifier.
Yay.
So we've got, speaking of, well, I don't want to even get into the whole, there's a lot of drama with Young Thug, let's just say.
Yes, there is a lot of drama with
Young Thug. And, you know, for legal reasons, let's just say it's dramatic.
And
because I don't want to accidentally say the wrong, like, it's a very confusing situation with indictments and allegations and da da da. But let's just say Young Thug has been in the news for things other than his music mostly these days.
He appears to be in a bit of a pickle. But but in spite of that, he like went and dropped two really, really great songs at the end of last week, right after he was like in the news for all of this stuff. And he was just like, here you go. Here are two spectacular songs that I did with Mike Will Made It that I just apparently have.
Pacifier is the one.
Pacifier is the one that I picked. I should have looked up if they were part of his upcoming album, but I didn't.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that bodes really well. It is a highly anticipated album. He was supposed to drop it on July 4th.
Does anyone know how to pronounce this album title? It's just like a bunch of symbols, right?
I thought it was like Slime something. Slime Season? Slime Season? I might be wrong, so don't. Whatever.
Don't,
I'm pretty sure
don't
that's.
Don't at Natalie.
Don't at me.
Natalie's really afraid of Twitter bullying.
I am.
Come on,
not
Natalie.
Really. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's something related to slime, probably Slime Season. Anyway, so this song, Pacifier.
I think the title is Fuck You, Paul Blart, of his next album.
Oh my God, Joe, I thought you weren't talking about this.
I wasn't going to talk about it, but then I had to, because he allegedly threatened to shoot a mall cop in the face.
Anyway,
allegedly.
We don't know anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Pacifier, song from his next album. Let me just say, I have never been like blown away by a Young Thug song. I have listened to Young Thug sometimes happily, you know? And like I can get behind what he's about. Yeah, he's cool. But I listened to this song. Okay, it starts off with like a James Brown-y drum sample, which Mike Will just takes and turns into a trap beat somehow. And there are like the production is just really, really cool and interesting to me. And like just guitars and like gospel wails. And I feel like the lushness of it really supports Young Thug's voice in a way that I don't know I've heard many other tracks do. Because he's got such a unique thing going on. And then Young Thug is also just, like, wiling out here in a really great way. He's, like, basically doing dancehall toasting at one point. And it's just like, all right, like, I know you're not Jamaican, but sure. Like, I'll buy it. It's just a really cool song, and I am very interested. And, yeah, like, it makes me want to hear more. And, like, I was into Lifestyle and stuff. Like, I can get behind Young Thug in principle. But this song is, like, amazing. And also further convinces me, not that any of us needed to be convinced, that Mike Will is like a genius. But yeah.
Dropping the G word.
Wow.
Mike,
wow.
Will, whatever. The dude who made Body that. Party is a genius to me forever and always. So.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that this sort of answers the question to me, like, what would Young Thug sound like on like a big budget production?
Yeah.
Like, that's what this is
definitely,
to me. Is like,
definitely.
It's like he's gone from mixtape to like debut album. It's weird to think of this as like his debut album because he's put out so much music,
right?
It's gonna be weird when Chance the Rapper, whenever he like puts out like a major label album, if he ever does, because like it'll be like his debut album. It's like it's not really his debut album,
right?
Anyway, but it, like you said, like Mike Will, and just the fact that this is like a single that I got a press release about, and I was like, wow, this is like official Young Thug.
Yeah.
I like it a lot, and I didn't like, I feel like the Barter 6 mixtape was a little too like exclusive in terms of, he didn't really let the listeners inside his world. He was kind of brooding throughout that, and I feel like this kind of rejiggers his mojo a little bit, in the way that I also think the Jamie XX song, which we've talked about a lot,
right,
did the same thing, which is just like, it's not even necessarily that he has to be like positive or like, and like you said, toasting, but it's just like he needs that kind of energy to come through, and I feel like it does here.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with what you guys said. I really think this sounds like a more polished kind of radio ready sound for him.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds awesome. Like, I would be happy to hear this randomly from cars driving by, or you know, in the supermarket. It's just, yeah, his flow is great. It doesn't like get overshadowed by the added production. And I like that the song, like you said, I don't know if it's exactly like a party song, but it has like kind of an up-tempo forward motion that a lot of his stuff like doesn't, your mixtape stuff doesn't necessarily. So
yeah.
it's
like, it's so easy to get bogged down and trap, you know, because there's so much space in the beat. It's like,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's just easy to kind of like just super lay back in this, but this, like, the beat just has so much momentum there. It's really cool. There's a lot going on, and yeah, anyway, I'm excited about it.
All right, well, that is a, we have three thumbs up, or okay, six if we drop our mics.
Yep.
And let's listen to it. So it's Young Thug, Pacifier.
Bleed the bumper car, hold up. Bleed the cops, bleed it, bleed it, bleed it, bleed it, bleed it. Bad little bitch with some bad little titty, need to put a little hip in it. Damn, coming up the pole, can she put a little split in it? If I would've done, I'ma put a little whip in it.
All right, that was Young Thug, Pacifier. That is all we have this week on the Must Hear Music podcast. All
right.
Jason, Natalie, thank you.
Joe.
Pleasure as always.
And thank you so much for listening. And if you've got, you know, artists, songs, whatever, tweet them at us. If you have thoughts about the stuff we did this week or past weeks, tweet them at us.
Yeah.
Unless you're trying to tell me I'm wrong about Will Cole and Friday Night Lights.
Nah, you can tell Natalie she's wrong. Tweet that at her.
Let's talk about Friday Night Lights.
Feel free to cyberbully Natalie. So,
why are you saying
Yeah,
that?
Just kidding. Don't
just
do that.
Just kidding.
Don't do that.
Cyberbully Joe. more than anything.
Yeah, definitely. He has like five Twitter followers.
The cyber. I really do have like five Twitter followers. Yeah.
That turned personal. Oh, I like that.
I'm taking you down.
you told people to cyberbully me. I'm going to have like Patriots fans lined up around the block to just like tweet mean things at me.
They're going to find out you're a Seahawks.
I guess.
It's very obvious. Hey,
come on. Enough of the sports, guys. Yeah. Unless you're a music podcast.
Training camp's a couple weeks away, Joe.
So it's like 50 days until football begins.
Yeah.
Jesus. Anyways. All right. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.